Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Look a little older. Now, the receding hairline helped a whole lot, but I still didn't feel comfortable enough to do, you know, like I was really a full-fledged faculty member, which I was not.
I'm laughing with you. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. We don't play what is glass wearing anymore because it's just a different combination of Adidas pullover products and shorts. So that's not let your mind wander, folks.
I have not ironed anything in 6 months.
Which that's great.
I used to iron every single day. I mean, literally every day, but not in 6 months.
Not anymore. Well, the numbers that post every Wednesday to Indiana University's dashboard, we know Dr. Carroll is keeping a good eye on those. So are you, because you're the one that has to answer all the questions. Ha! We've seen a downtick here over the last 3 to 4 Wednesdays we have gotten together. That's not the case this Wednesday, but is there anything cause for alarm, so to speak? Because we've heard Governor Eric Holcomb today. He's not thrilled the way the numbers are going statewide. How does Indiana University follow the state trend here in Bloomington?
Well, it's still good. I mean, that's the number one thing. However, it is slightly up, and that is not surprising. And in fact, in the discussions in the past few days, we've sort of speculated before the numbers were in that we thought this would probably tick up just because the numbers around us in Indiana are going up, and they have gone up a little bit. So the mitigation testing COVID positivity rate across all of our campuses is 1.1%. That was 0.9% the week prior. So that covers all of the IU campuses around the state. And that's still pretty good when you look at it. Positivity rate at Bloomington among our communal living Greek houses, which, as you may remember, is the highest, was the highest location for our testing positivity, 1.4%. That was 1.5 actually last week. And also down to positivity rates among residence halls, 1.1%. That was 1.5 last week. The Greek affiliated students not in the organizational houses was 2.5%, and that was 3.5% the week before. Now, all the other off-campus students was 0.8% positivity rate. That was 0.5% the week prior. So that's where you have the uptick on the Bloomington campus. Again, not big. It's still a certainly very manageable number and a good number overall. The prevalence rate, calculated prevalence rate, is 0.8% for IU Bloomington. So in the population, estimating it out, what's the prevalence of COVID, it's still pretty good. And we're still in a good place, but it shows that we need to continue doing what we've been doing and try to keep a handle on this. And certainly as the state has its issues with the positivity rates going up all around the state, we have to be very careful.
We all have to be very careful. The state director of health, I can't remember her exact title, Dr. Chris Box.
Dr. Box.
She has it. She got it from her grandson, who's not even 2 years old, who brought it home from daycare. We know that's not a prevalent group of people to get it. So that makes me itch because we haven't been sitting here, you and I or anybody else we talk to, talking about, well, look at all the toddlers that are spreading this around. So
it makes you
itchy. The President of the United States got it, for crying out loud. He's the most protected person on the planet, and who gets close to him for that long? But the one number I'm interested in, and I know you don't have this off the top of your head, and I'm not being negative Nancy, but I don't understand some things, why we're having concerts in Dunn Meadow and things like that, and then we see the numbers go up. Well, I know it's not that equals that. I know people are getting tired of wearing masks. I know people are getting tired of being sequestered by themselves in places. We're just going to have to get through this at some point, aren't we? Or are we just trying to get to November 20th when everybody gets home, and then we'll start all over in spring? Or when?
Well, we want to get to November 20th, but we also want to keep it in such a way that we're going to be okay when people return back to campus. And by the way, we will have testing for students, faculty, and staff who are leaving town in between the in-person sessions so that they can get tested on their way out. We will also have arrival testing for students again in the spring as we did for the fall semester. So we'll be checking on them going in and out. It's voluntary going out, but coming in, students living on campus, while students actually will have to be tested in arrival testing. So that won't be, that'll be mandatory. But as far as things like the concert in Dunmeadow, that's a limited number. It is outside. And of course, they are physically distanced. There are no things like big concerts in IU Auditorium, which pains me. I mean, I go to 6-7 events a year there. And those things we still have to avoid. And it's, what we tried to do is give the students an experience here as much as we can in some safe confines. And so far, there's no evidence that that has led to any particular uptick on anything.
Good. But, then I'll stop worrying about it.
Well, at the same time, I mean, I would bear in mind that not only are we testing at the highest level we've been doing all semester, it's going to ramp up even more in the next couple of weeks with our new labs. And we should be testing as much as 2 times a week for some people. So we'll have an eye on it.
Well, that's the good news, because I'm learning that from Governor Holcomb's remarks today. The most recent data, an average of more than 22,000 people a day are undergoing testing. So that's increasing dramatically. That should show, if we test more, well, then we learn more people have this, because if they're asymptomatic, of course. Well, I mean, how would you know? Until we do this, so the more testing, the more numbers, we just have to continue. That's why even when we hear these stories of Dr. Box or professional golfers or professional actors or whoever it is, you have to just keep doing it. You got to keep wearing your mask, stay physically distant, and be smart, which is great. And the other thing that Indiana University is doing, we touched on this last week, and I want to see just how it has been going. I can't remember if it started yet, because I'm not a faculty, staff, or student. Your flu shot testing, Chuck Crabb told me on Friday, there were plenty of socially distanced, physically distanced tables and stations over there at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Any feedback on those early numbers?
Yeah, those have been going gangbusters to this point. And so
good.
And of course, that's required for all students, faculty, and staff. If you're going to be on campus at all, you have to have that done by December 1st. So we're providing the clinics. We're doing it on campus. But of course, you can get a test, or you can get a shot somewhere else. I went to Target and got mine. And you can report that to the university. And again, it's one of these things, and not a lot of people are fighting back against this. I mean, I don't want to lead anybody to think that. But on the few occasions that we hear about someone saying, well, why are you requiring this? You can't require us. Well, we require all sorts of vaccinations for students, for sure.
That's right.
And so it's not unusual. But the other thing is, too, if we have a really terrible flu season, that's going to tax the healthcare system. First of all, to figure out if it is COVID, and second of all, just to treat a really terrible flu, which may take up space for those who need to be treated for COVID. So there are all kinds of reasons to do it. The main reason is just keep yourself healthy. Get the flu shot.
I agree, and that's why it is going to be free. It's a separate virus. Everybody mm-hmm. has to know that by now, and you can get both.
You can get both at the same time. Yeah,
yes, you don't get a pick. That's not how it works. So it's free. It has to be done. When is that mandatory needs to be completed by date?
December 1st. Everybody has to have it done by December 1st, which happens to be my birthday, but that's not the reason it was implemented for December 1st. But I will tell you.
I'm writing down your birthday.
Okay.
Now, go ahead. One December. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So, I am somebody who I am not a needle person, and
they don't hurt.
But it's a psychosomatic thing. And my daughter is the same way. When you smell the rubbing alcohol, there's something about that. It's just really.
Well, then bring some gin or something to throw off.
Oh, I do.
your blood is flying out. It's awfully thin today, sir. Well, sometimes that is. I used to be that way. The last time I gave blood, I can't remember when it was. They did the whole thing, and I'm like, oh, you're done. I said, are these needles new? She said, oh, yeah, they're new.
Like digital needles.
That's yes. You get them on the internet. That's right.
That's right.
Chuck Carney's our guest. The doctor checks in. He's the director of media relations for Indiana University. He joins us every Wednesday, three big things at IU before we send him off to teach class. And let's see. The bicentennial campaign was scheduled to raise a couple billion. And then it was $2.5 billion. Then all of a sudden, you almost doubled your original. Everybody should be patting themselves on the back after a wonderful, wonderful campaign to raise all that money.
Yeah, so this closed last week, the Bicentennial Campaign. This is our fundraising campaign that started in September of 2015 and has gone all this way. We raised nearly $3.9 billion. And just to give you an idea what that goes to, that creates 5,800 scholarships and fellowships. That is a 45% increase over the total created during 190 years before this campaign. This also created 235 new professorships that were endowed. And then that's a 51% increase over the total created in the 190 years of IU before. So that tells you that this is something that will help students go to school more cheaply. It'll lead to less student debt. It'll also lead to more highly qualified faculty being attracted to our IU campuses. So it's a big deal. And it was something that the president during this campaign saw how well we were doing, decided that we could do even better, and called us out to do more. And that's something that that our givers certainly did, and very grateful to everybody who gave during the campaign.
And we were kind of ahead of the times there, and getting all that money into the coffers for the Bicentennial campaign. Oh, and look, it's COVID-19 right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a tough spot. You can't go back to everybody and say, hey, can you give a little bit more? The $4 billion was nice, but you got anything left?
Yeah. Well, and I think it says something, you know, the fiscal standing of Indiana University certainly has taken a hit in the COVID pandemic, as have all public universities. But the fiscal standing of the university is such that we've been able to maintain what we do to a large extent. We've had to cut some things, but we've been able to not have massive layoffs or anything like that. And that's a testament to what we've been able to do in stewarding these funds. And so I think that anybody who gave during this campaign, but also anybody who did not, should be reassured that the university is using funding well. This is going towards increasing scholarships for students in large part. And that helps us reach the mission that we have, which is to serve the state, the nation, and the world.
All right, Chuck, we'll let you get to class here. We know we're running a little bit late. Save on your list for next week. We'll talk about Dr. Dan moving from the foundation back to Kelly School, or maybe I got that order backwards. We know
that's it.
He was a big part of raising a lot of this money, so I don't want that to be swept under the rug, but we know the health and safety and the testing results. Those are, and the rock and roll, it's like Gas's class here. We do rock and roll the first 5 minutes now. remember, there's only one way to rock, and that's with Dave Brubeck after hours, dimly lit, smoke-filled room.
That's right. Now, I would point out before we go here, I mean, I have some relatively eclectic tastes. And for those of you who can see me on my Zoom, which would be you,
I hold up
my Let It Be coaster.
That would be the Beatles.
The Beatles. And so I'm the world's greatest Beatles fan. My biggest regret is that I never took Glenn Gass's class. And
I did not either. And I didn't take very many many classes here at IU, so he shouldn't be offended. I didn't show up for many of them. Great job as always, my friend. Who knows what next week will bring. Stay physically distanced. Wear your mask just like you tell everybody else. Get those flu shots, students and faculty, and we'll do it again next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Great job, Chuck. Thanks. Chuck Carney, the doctor, is in on Wednesdays. Well, the old joke from that is the great line from Bob Hope in Spies Like Us, glad I'm not sick. No, we don't mean that. We love Dr. Chuck every Wednesday.